Catholic Views. I'm your host, Renee Kranz. On today's show, we will have a special guest, an unusual guest for what we usually do. We will have Father Joseph Aitona. He is the rector at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion, which is in close to Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's in Champion, Wisconsin, of all things, of all places. We wanted to talk to him. This is a shrine that, even though it's an 8-ish hour drive, depending on who you are, it is not that far away from us. It is the only approved Marian apparition in the U.S. Really, really cool shrine. And he was available, so we wanted to talk to him to tell everybody around our area about this place. So you can go there if you'd like, and to talk about Marian shrines and Marian devotion. First, now that I've taken up a full minute of his time, mm-hmm. we have Dr. Chris Bergwald here with Biblical Bites with Dr. B.
Why do you hate the Word of God?
Why do I hate the Word of God? Wow.
Renee, my friends, he's gonna ask. What is today?
I think it's the fifth Sunday of Easter.
But you weren't sure.
I was not sure. I had to rethink about last week, and it was Good Shepherd Sunday.
Correct.
Then I was like, wait,
you're
was
really
that
stuck
the fourth?
On that unofficial title, which is the fourth. That is the fourth Sunday.
Okay, so I did it.
You are right. Today is the fifth
I remembered Sunday. Something.
You did. Well done, good and faithful servants.
So unusual.
Now enter into something. So the first reading, as always, during the Easter season on Sundays, is from Acts of the Apostles. And this is shortly after Saul, a.k.a. Paul, has his conversion.
Okay.
A quick prefatory note, because somebody asked me about this recently. Saul to Paul is not a name change the way that Simon to Peter or Abram to Abraham is.
Okay.
Saul has two names. He has a Hebrew Jewish name, Saul, mm-hmm. and he has, as a Roman citizen, for interacting with the Gentiles, he also has a Roman name, Paul. Obviously at a certain point, because a lot of his interaction becomes with Gentiles, you see him referred to as Paul more and more.
Okay.
And obviously in his
I was just going to ask that question, if he went by both or?
Yeah, what we're reading in chapter, for the reading on this Sunday from chapter 9 of Acts 26 through 31 is after his conversion. It's still referred to, so it starts, when Saul arrived in Jerusalem. And it goes on from there. So he's had his conversion, but he's still called Saul because that is still his name, mm-hmm. even though it becomes less and less used, at least in terms of scripture.
Right, okay. Right.
So this is right after his conversion. And remember, his conversion happened on his way to Damascus,
right.
where he was going to imprison other Christians, having just come from Jerusalem, where he was doing the same thing and consenting to the death of Stephen.
Right.
So Luke tells us, when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple.
Of course.
I get it, right? I mean, yeah, okay, that's not a shock.
They're like,
I mean,
lock the door.
What the heck? Like, some ploy. He's just trying to.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
It's a trick.
Then Barnabas, who becomes one of his, and Barnabas had been I didn't verify that beforehand. But Barnabas, regardless, who's one of the key figures in the early church, Barnabas took charge of him and brought him to the apostles. And Paul, reported to them how he had seen the Lord and that he had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. He moved about freely with them in Jerusalem and spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. And it goes on. He gets into some trouble with the Hellenistic Jews. And if we have time, we'll come back to that. But it was important to this new, I hate to say convert, because Jews who became Christians, they weren't converts.
No.
So it was important to this rabbi who recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah mm-hmm. and had risen from the dead. It was important to Paul that he meet and be, frankly, in league with the apostles.
Right.
Because the apostles, with Peter as the head, were and remained the foundation of the church. So even this, who would become one of, if not the greatest of the apostles, the apostle to the Gentiles, as he's called, even he doesn't, well, the Lord spoke to me, so I, da 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 da.
Which might be a little more like what happens today.
Exactly.
Yes.
He's not a free agent.
Right.
Now, he does. He is empowered by the Lord to be an apostle himself, but he first connects with the 12. He first connects himself with the 12, and then he's able to move about freely, speaking in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to leave that. I'm not going to go on further. I just want to unpack that a little bit more. I do think it's important for us today to recognize, as Catholics, the essential place of the bishop. In the life of the church, mm-hmm. you know, because the guy we experience from week to week is our priest mm-hmm. or priest, pastor or other priests, and the guy in Rome we know about. But our bishops play a crucial role, and we have to remain rooted in them because they are our local high priest.
Yeah. Great reminder. Thanks, Dr. B.
You bet.
On Zoom with me today. I don't have him in the studio because he is in Wisconsin, but I have Father Joseph Aitona. He is the rector at the National Shrine for Our Lady of Champion, which is in Wisconsin, right by Green Bay, which is a wonderful place that I've been several times. Welcome, Father Joseph.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. So, this is a place, so the Shrine Our Lady of Champion used to be called Our Lady of Good Help. Is that right?
Correct. Yes. Okay. It was just changed last year on April 20th. So about a year ago, we officially changed the name.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So if you've ever been, if you're in this area, we have lots of Green Bay Packers fans. So if you've been that way and you've been to Green Bay for a game or anything, there is a Marian Shrine there. That is fantastic, and you should go. It's literally, 15 miles away, 10 miles? Probably not even that. So, very
yes,
close.
I would say a good 30-minute drive if you're going to go by time.
Yeah.
So not
yeah.
too far.
Yeah. I like that you went by time. That's how we do it here, too. It's all about time, not miles. So, okay. So, Father Joseph, will you tell us about Our Lady of Champion and the apparition to Adele?
Yes. Now, this happened a long time ago. So 1859, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to a Belgian immigrant by the name of Adele Bryce. And Adele moved from Belgium. And she was here in Wisconsin helping her family out. And the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to her actually three times. And eventually, after Adele attended Sunday Mass, the Blessed Virgin Mary didn't say anything to Adele the first two times. She just basically appeared and showed herself, her face, etc. So Adele actually talked to her parents first and asked, "This lady is appearing to me." And her parents actually thought the idea of a soul in purgatory asking for prayers.
Oh.
That was the first thing.
Right,
yeah, that,
okay.
that it was just a guess.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, after the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to her the second time, again, not saying a word, she asked the priest who celebrated Mass on that Sunday what she should do. And the priest basically told her, "Well, ask her who she is and what she wants of you." And eventually, after Mass was done and she headed back to her family, to her home, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared and said, "I am the Queen of Heaven who prays for the conversion of sinners, and I wish for you to do the same."
Mm.
So, and interestingly enough, the sacraments, it's probably one of the most sacramental apparition that has been approved by the church. So she told Adele, "You receive Holy Communion this morning and that as well, but you need to do more. Make a general confession and offer communion for the conversion of sinners." And basically she gives a warning, "If they do not repent, if they do not do penance and repent, my son will be obliged to punish them."
Oh, wow.
So usually in many Marian apparitions, there's a warning. You know, if you look at Fatima, if you look at Lourdes, etc., there are many warnings. And this isn't an exception to that, those that Our Lady usually does when she appears. So that sets the stage for the rest of the apparition. And eventually she asked Adele to teach the children here in this area their catechism how to approach the sacraments, what's necessary for salvation. So she was sent from the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's after she united herself with Jesus in the sacraments of confession and the Holy Eucharist.
Wow. Okay, so how is that message of Our Lady that was given to Adele still relevant to each of us today? And how can we apply it to our lives?
Yes. So we are a very Eucharistic church. Mm-hmm. We're actually in a Eucharistic revival.
Yes.
So I think it goes without saying the Eucharist is the source and summit of our whole lives, of our whole Christian lives. So basically, offering communion, especially for the conversion of sinners. Now, I don't know how often it's preached in generally in the church. I would probably say not a lot. I remember going on EWTN and preaching about this during their daily mass. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of feedback saying, I didn't even know I can offer communion for a specific intention.
Oh, wow.
So just the fact of actually offering communion and how it's done, you know, bringing your intention during the collect of the mass, during the offertory, after you physically receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, are we offering communion for a specific intention? So that's just a general questions we can ask ourselves as Catholic that we can be reminded of from this apparition, but also confession. Mm-hmm. Now, in her case, it's a general confession. Now, we don't usually have general confessions a lot. It's usually before we get sent out to do something like a vocation to the priesthood or religious life, or before you're married, or before you're about to die. So it's a very specific type of confession. But obviously, we want to go to confession regularly so our souls can be cleansed, especially to house Jesus in the most blessed sacrament when we receive him in Holy Communion. I think back in the day, even though I was born in the 80s, a lot of people refrained from receiving communion because they hadn't gone to confession. Now, obviously, we want to have a balance, but it seems like I think today maybe a lot of people are receiving communion but never going to confession.
Right.
So I think that with this apparition, it could be reminded about how the sacraments are really the source and summit, especially the Eucharist, specifically the Eucharist, how we can grow in our faith, how we can grow in union with God. And we really can't evangelize, we really can't catechize properly or effectively, I should say, without being united with Jesus in prayer, especially through the sacraments. So it's very appropriate today for our church.
Yeah, yeah. So now Adele later became a sister, correct? A nun of some sort.
She actually joined a third order Franciscan community. So she was not a consecrated religious, as we know, but she did wear a habit. It seemed like it was a custom to wear a habit, but she did not take any vows. So she's actually not Sister Adele or Mother Adele, but she was a third order lay member of the Franciscan community.
Okay. Okay. I remember one of the things was very memorable to me at the shrine was the image. I believe it was inside. There's a small museum type thing there.
Yes. And we call it the Welcome Center, but it's like a museum.
Thank you. And there was an image of Our Lady of Champion there that is, I would say, unlike most of the Marian images that you see. At least to me it was, but it was very beautiful. I don't know if Casey has that. I know I had given it to him. We'll see if he can pop it up on the video, but it's a really striking, beautiful image. So can you,
yes.
There it is. Yeah. There's a, she's in white, if I remember, or gold or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, she's in white, but there's gold trimming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you see on the video right now, if you're watching this, you'll see some of the interior shots. Here's the shot of the vision of the apparition, and there's some shots of there's a chapel here, and then there's in the basement. I assume this is still there. There's a statue, and you have all the candles down there, which was beautiful. And what else is down there, Father?
So it's called the Apparition Oratory.
Yeah.
So there's an apparition chapel right above it. Mm-hmm. And in that area of the sanctuary and right under it is where we think the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared. So we don't know the exact location, mm-hmm. but it's around that area. Mm-hmm. So the apparition chapel, obviously where Mass is celebrated, confessions are heard. And then right under it is the oratory where all the devotional candles. And it's a very intimate time that you can have with Our Lady. There's the statue of Our Lady of Grace down there, and then Our Lady as Queen up in the apparition chapel. So we have a lot of relics behind the statue as well, but it's basically a place of prayer for people to bring their intentions and to light a candle with whatever intention that they have or for someone that they're praying for, et cetera. So that's basically the main part of the shrine here in terms of prayer. It would be the apparition oratory and downstairs or upstairs, the apparition chapel.
Yeah, that was quite beautiful. Okay, so this is the only approved Marian apparition site in the U.S. What is the process for becoming an approved Marian apparition site?
Yes, the authority lies within the local bishop.
Okay.
So in this case, it would be the Bishop of Green Bay. So the current bishop, Bishop David Ricken, he actually approved this apparition formally. There was an investigation. He asked theologians, Marian theologians, people basically that are experts that he can consult with and see if there's anything contrary to the Catholic faith. Obviously, if there's anything contrary, it's a false apparition. So, and basically he declared it after much consultation and most especially prayer, worthy of belief. Now, this is a private revelation. Mm-hmm. No one should be forced as a Catholic to believe that the Blessed Virgin Mary actually appeared here. So, but if it helps with people's faith, why not? I mean, with all of the miracles going on here, with all of the confessions, all of the events, I don't see why anyone wouldn't want to believe that the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared here way back in the 1800s.
Yeah. What is one thing you'd want people to know about Marian devotion? Because not everybody has a devotion to Mary, certainly not. But what is something that you think is helpful to people or you'd want them to know?
Yes, well, true devotion to Mary always leads us to Jesus. She is not the end. She's the greatest means to being united with our Lord, especially in the Eucharist. But our devotion to Mary shouldn't stop there. So in reality, all of the devotions to Mary, whether it's praying the rosary, whether we pray the Angelus every day or consecrate ourselves to Mary, that always leads us, especially to the sacraments, to Jesus in the Eucharist. So there could be a temptation of fanaticism, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, this is an approved Marian apparition, but it's a private revelation. We don't want to get hung up on just all of the apparitions of Mary and never read the Bible,
right?
And never read the Gospels or never prepare ourselves for Mass. We don't want this to be its own religion, so mm-hmm. to speak. Mm-hmm. It always has to be really something to direct us towards the truth, towards charity and love, especially in the sacrament. So that's one thing that really should be emphasized. We love the apparitions, we love the message, but in reality, she's not telling us anything new.
Yeah.
She's really just telling us something we already should have known or hopefully will know and then apply it to our lives as Catholics.
Right.
So it's just something that we really need to understand when we're talking about especially private revelations.
Yeah, I think that's really helpful. If you just joined us, I'm talking to Father Joseph Aitona. He is the rector at Our Lady of Champion Shrine in Wisconsin. Father, you see a lot of people at the shrine every year. And so can you share a story of one of the graces that you've seen happen there?
Yes. Well, I encounter many people, but there's one that has stuck out to me personally that has helped me with my faith.
Okay.
Chicago is about a 3-hour drive from here, depending on where you are in Chicago. But there's a family that comes here who received many favors from intercession of Our Lady. Their son was healed. Mm. But they got news that one of their family members in the Philippines just was diagnosed with cancer. So they drove here for 3 hours and they lit one candle in the oratory. They visited the gift shop. I blessed them and they drove back all in one day.
Wow.
So 6 hours, at least 6 hours, at least traveling to light one candle. Now, they could have called us. They could have called us and we could have lit one candle.
Yep.
They could have gone online and lit one candle. And people do that. There's right. nothing wrong with that. But they wanted to make a sacrifice. I mean, they literally wanted to offer it to Our Lady mm-hmm. since they received so many favors already. So that's a miracle. That's a miracle yes. of faith. Now, I don't know if the person was healed. I will probably see them later next week or maybe later this week. Mm-hmm. And they usually have stories. This person was healed. This happened and so forth and so on. But to have just that act of sacrifice, a lot of people, they don't even realize that they're pilgrims on their way to heaven. So to visualize someone just driving here for 3 hours to light one candle, it just shows you that they have confidence in Jesus through Mary.
Yes.
So
yes.
I don't know. I couldn't say that's necessarily a miracle story.
No, I think it is.
But at least it was an edification for me, especially as the rector here at the shrine.
Yeah, for sure. I would definitely see that as a miracle because, as you said, that's a sacrifice for them. And a lot of us don't even think to do that anymore right now, so which is unfortunate. So that's a really great one. Thanks for sharing that. So if someone's looking to make a spiritual pilgrimage, what advice would you have for them, and especially to make the most of that experience?
Yes. Well, if there's usually one intention that someone's praying for, either for a loved one that maybe has lost their faith, mm-hmm. or maybe healing themselves, maybe an addiction, maybe some wounds that they have from their family growing up. I mean, obviously, we're talking about a lot of people here. Everyone has their own background in terms of their own life story.
Yes.
So to have an intention that you want to bring as a pilgrim here. Now, it could just simply be holiness. It could be the fact that you want to become a saint. So do think of something that you can offer to Our Lady in terms of who or what to pray for. And then maybe you could fast one day.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you could pray an extra set of the mysteries of the rosary, something like that, that you can keep with you, so to speak, before coming over here. So it's like a journey up a mountain, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So you kind of want to be ready mentally, physically, and spiritually for all of this. And then when you come here, I recommend going to confession and offering that up to Our Lady and receiving communion.
Yes.
Now, if you can go to a mass 2 times while you're here, I would recommend one for that intention and the second one offering communion for the conversion of sinners, mm-hmm. since that's what Our Lady asked Adele to do. So you're basically like in solidarity with what the message, the first main message Our Lady asked Adele to do.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like in Adele's shoes, so to speak.
Yes, yes.
So you're participating in that way where you're going to confession. Obviously, Adele was asked to go to confession. So we can't all catechize children. Not everyone can do yeah. what the Blessed Virgin Mary asked Adele to do in terms of going around this area for the children, but we can go to confession and we can receive communion.
Yes.
So that's one thing I would recommend, along with praying the rosary, depending on how much time they have.
Yeah.
Those are the things that I will really highlight in terms of a pilgrimage.
Yeah, that's really great. And also, now if you are just happen to be in Green Bay or in the area and you're like, oh gosh, I didn't do those things, maybe I won't go. Don't do that. Go anyway, because it's a beautiful place. It's a really good experience. It can be a really spiritual experience for people, whether you've prepared well or not. And you can always go back and do yes. the preparation before.
Everyone's welcome.
Yes.
You can go more than once.
Yes.
You can bring other people as well. So you're not limited. Obviously, you can go to confession and receive communion at your own church.
Yep.
Maybe you can kind of practice, yep. so to speak.
Yes.
Before coming over here. But hopefully they're doing that already.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, Father Joseph, we have a couple minutes left. I want to be able to give you a minute to tell about an event that's coming up there at the Shrine on May 4th called Walk to Mary. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So that's the busiest day here at the Shrine. So if I were to guess, there's going to be maybe 7,000 to 8,000 pilgrims here on the grounds of the shrine. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a walk starting at the National Shrine of St. Joseph in De Pere, mm-hmm. 21 miles. Now, not everyone can walk 21 miles, but it's a walk to Mary, and it's an external sign of an act of sacrifice that you're offering to God through Mary. Mm-hmm. So there's many other pilgrimage, like the Camino in Spain. Mm-hmm. So this is just our version, so to speak. It's ran by an organization. We don't actually, it's not us that organizes it. We're part of it, but there's an actual organization, Walk to Mary,
sure.
that really organizes it and teams up with the rest of the other the churches, like the National Shrine of St. Joseph. Relevant Radio is also involved, mm-hmm. et cetera. So mm-hmm. it's a very external sign to show your love and devotion to Jesus through Mary. And there's different starting points. You don't have to start at the National Shrine of St. Joseph. There's a children's walk as well, 1.7 miles. And those who can't physically walk longer than that, they may take that route too. So we have many options, but it's a day for pilgrims to show an external sign of sacrifice to give glory to God through Mary.
That's really cool. Do they do that every year?
Every year on the first Saturday of May.
Okay. I assume if someone was to Google Walk with Mary pilgrimage or something like that, they'd be able to find that information.
Yes, it's very easy. Or you can go to championshrine.org. We have links as well. So okay. All the information is there.
Good. And go to championshrine.org if you want to just find out more about the shrine. As I said, it's a really cool place to go. At the time that we went, my husband and I, we needed a place like that at that time. So it really, really helped us move through a time when we needed some spiritual support. So it, great. I mean, go if you can. It's a beautiful place.
Yes.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it.
Yes. Thank you, Father Joseph, so much for taking some time out for us. I hope that if people come from here, they'll say, hey, I heard you on the radio in South Dakota, so we had to come see you. So hopefully some of those will show up soon.
Oh, yes. Praise God. Again, you're always welcome. I'm a missionary priest, so I do travel around everywhere. I haven't been to South Dakota yet, so God willing, someday I'll be able to visit.
Come on over. Thanks again for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks. God bless you.
You too. All right. If you haven't found us on social media yet, you can find us at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, and YouTube at SF Diocese Anytime. That's it for us today. Hope you'll join us again next week for more Catholic Views.